Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske. Powell Hall has not been open for performances since the coronavirus was declared a global pandemic, but symphony players are still making music together and drawing people eager to hear them play. And that gorgeous piece was actually recorded by our producer Lara Hamden at the lawn of a private residence in University City on Wednesday. Musicians set up their chairs in the front yard. Neighbors took their seats on the sidewalks and across the street, taking care to sit 6 feet apart and to wear their masks. No invitations are necessary for these performances. Sara Saba lives in University City, and she says her first encounter with one of these concerts came when she almost stumbled into it while bicycling.
Yesterday we were biking around in the city and we heard this music and people clapping. And I was like, wait, what's happening here? Is this like, you know, a concert? And he was like, no, I think someone is playing it. But I heard people clapping and I was like, I have to find out what it is. And this is great that we get to hear it today.
Another neighbor attending the concert Wednesday was Linda Kraft.
So this is the third concert we've been to. And one of the things that just sort of struck me visually is that I'm so used to these musicians being in their tuxedos and these beautiful black gowns, and to see them in flip-flops and shorts and face masks is just so shocking. But then to have this beautiful music, and tonight I was thinking it maybe should be titled Concert with Cicadas, because it's almost as if they're kind of playing along.
And for Linda Kraft, it's safe to say these concerts are something special.
You know, there's just an intimacy here that you don't get when you're in Powell Hall. And it's really such a treat. And, you know, maybe it's one of the gifts of COVID, if we can say there are gifts.
And joining us today to discuss this surprising gift from COVID is Thomas Yostlein. He is a French horn player and the associate principal horn with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Thomas Yostlein, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Sarah.
So you've been credited as the man behind what's become a movement. What made you start organizing small-scale outdoor concerts?
So back in February, my horn student who moved to Philadelphia, his mother is the head of infectious diseases at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Hmm. And she warned me that it might be a long time till concerts resume. So I started thinking, what can we do just to keep the music flowing, basically? And luckily, our house is full of music. Our sons both play violin and cello. My wife is a very fine horn player. And I play French horn and Alp horn, the Swiss, the long Ricola instrument.
Oh, wow.
And so we started just a lot of Alp horn, a lot of violin, cello, and horn, and gradually it built.
Yeah, it really built. How did other musicians from the symphony, your coworkers, how did they end up getting involved?
Well, it's all my brainchild, I guess. We started off, again, fairly small. And then I remember one night I did an Alp horn concerto. I brought in the conductor of the St. Louis Wind Symphony, Tom Poshak, to conduct, I think, about five or six musicians with me on the Alp horn. And then the first big concert we did, and by big I mean 13 players, it was the Wagner's Siegfried Idyll, which is, like the title says, it's a very idyllic, outdoorsy kind of work. And that really set the mood for the types of concerts, the type of programming we try to get here. That try to bring a balm to our society at this time.
It's interesting, you know, hearing the music that Lara recorded from your concert on Wednesday, I'm not embarrassed to say I actually burst into tears just hearing that symphony music again after not getting to go. I'm getting teary right now after not getting
to.
Yeah. You know, going to Powell Hall is such a wonderful thing that you can do in St. Louis, and hearing the symphony, do you think people are just desperate right now for the rhapsody of this live music in a public setting?
Oh yeah, I can show you a stack of thank you notes. I probably won't read them without, you know, crying. So.
Yeah. I mean, you really touched people. This is something that people have really needed. And you've now had 125, or it would be 125 as of Friday.
Yeah.
Have there ever been anywhere you started playing and nobody showed up?
No. I mean, I think early on a couple, perhaps. But we have a couple really hardened audience goers that come every night. They bring their dogs. They bring their wine glasses, maybe. And by the numbers, I can tell you briefly, just talking by facts, we have our 130th concert is tonight, close enough to 125.
I got my numbers off. Sorry.
No, that's good. We've had 18 nights of Irish music. We've had 4 nights of storytelling, including by the local library, the great youth services director. We've had many, many nights of very advanced high school and college players playing either with a great pianist who's local, Vera Parkin, or we've done several nights of side-by-sides with symphony players. So it's been great. Yeah,
as you mentioned, so the St. Louis Symphony Chorus now almost has like a spin-off of these, and those are hosted by Amy Kaiser, who's the director of that St. Louis Symphony Chorus. Here's what she told Laura about the impact that these concerts are having.
It was just a beautiful collaboration and totally unexpected, and I found that these small-scale events on the street, mostly unrehearsed in the neighborhood, were just as uplifting to me and just as moving as these glorious big concerts at Powell Hall. Isn't that amazing how that could be?
I mean, that's what some of the reactions too, where people here are seasoned members, like they, you know, usually go to Powell Hall, and they were still just as moved doing
In other words, gold is where you find it. Yeah. Wonderful expression. Who would have expected that in the middle of the summer we would be making music together like this, and it would be so magical and uplifting and thoroughly satisfying and joyful.
And that is Amy Kaiser, the director of the St. Louis Symphony Chorus, talking to producer Lara Hamden. Thomas, we talked a bit about what this does for audience members, bringing people like me to tears. What does this do for the musicians who get to participate in these?
Right. Well, we were, for many months, we were just living in our homes. Many did these virtual recordings, some very impressive ones. You can look at the St. Louis Symphony website. There's some beautiful videos there. But there's something about the live experience. What we provide are concerts that are not rehearsed. We do work on our parts. We prepare as if it's a concert. There's no conductor frequently. So there are, on occasion, some out-of-tune notes. We are playing outdoors, as you know. But very few, if it's symphony players. I think it's quite a high level of performance.
Yes, you guys are professionals, but that it sounds like it still does come with some challenges, playing in these small groups without really the ability to rehearse together in person first. Are there ever moments where you're like, I hope our boss doesn't hear this?
Well, not too many, not too many. Now, that said, there's no conductor frequently, so that makes it extra hard. We have to lead each other. Although, and I'm not sure if he's listening, but I know a certain former maestro lives just 2 miles from where we live here, and maybe we can lure Leonard Slatkin out to conduct one of these nights.
Boy, that seems like that would just be something he would be totally into. Have you thought about approaching him, or do you want to wait till he approaches you?
I think I will, but I'm not mortified. I don't know how to approach him, basically. So,
you don't know how to get in touch. We're going to have to help with this, Thomas.
we'll work on that. But a few other things to list here. Yes, a lot of youth orchestra students playing. We've done symphonies, Mozart symphonies, 25 and 40. I've even had my college students as the concertmaster leading both symphony and college players side by side. And I'm very proud that the newest development is on Saturdays. We have the nonprofit music venue in Maplewood. The Focal Point is populating our Saturday series. So we have the Wee Heavies tomorrow night, which is a local a cappella Scottish singing group. We've had folk, we've had jazz. It's been a real music festival, you could say.
That's amazing. Are you worried that these are going to get too big and that it's going to be hard to get people to stay far enough apart?
That's a great question. That's what actually your producer asked me that yesterday. I'm very deliberate. I do not send out an email list. I just post on my private Facebook page just around 2 p.m. each day. The most we've had is about 150 audience members spread across 6 lawns plus the street and the sidewalk. I'm fine with families in pods. I make announcements about masks and being 6 feet apart. And lastly, I must say, I'm not a virologist, but it seems outdoors, if you're distanced, seems safe.
It does seem to make a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. In mid-May, there's a Chinese study. Out of 7,500 virus confirmed cases, only one of those over 7,000 was caused by outdoor transmission. So I think we're okay.
And I did want to mention, we asked Amy Kaiser about this. Again, she's the director of the St. Louis Symphony Chorus, because singing together is something that has been considered relatively risky in the age of COVID. And Amy explained how they at the chorus are keeping safe distances.
We did not use masks, but we sang, we spaced it using garden hose and electrical cord. And then I wrote everybody's name on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and we made sure they were 8 feet apart and put a brick on it so it wouldn't blow away. So everybody just found their place and it just worked.
And that's Amy Kaiser, director of the St. Louis Symphony Chorus. Thomas Yoslein, are you players able to stay 8 feet apart, or you're just careful to stay masked?
The strings are all masked, and we do insist that they are at least 6 feet, ideally 8 feet apart. We get to use our lawn, which is about roughly 160 square feet. We have two driveways plus the neighbor's balcony to use. So we are definitely spaced apart. And of course, having spouses like my wife next to me, or our son, makes it easier in that regard.
You're already in the same pod. You don't have to worry about that. So that helps.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So one other thing we wanted to mention, I understand at this point, Laura has told me it's not just music, that kids are selling lemonade and people buy food that's been made by Syrian refugees. What a nice twist. How did that come about?
Yeah. So the lemonade is easy. That's our boys. They make it you're wearing gloves, they seal it, and they even use mason jars that are washed in boiling water, so it's all kept very safe. And then the food is by a wonderful Syrian refugee family that our family has befriended, again, thanks to the symphony, thanks to Maureen Byrne at the symphony, got us in touch with them. We found them housing, and we are very tight with them. So they have a commissary where they prepare the food. They cook at the farmer's market, and then once a week they come to our sidewalk and sell falafel and chicken and hummus, that kind of thing.
So there is a food option there. I know these concerts are free, but you also do accept donations. Where does the money from that go?
Ah, that is a great question. So the best way to give is write to the symphony. Give them a donation would be great. If you list on the check, I was inspired by the concerts, that might be a nice touch. That's the first step. The musicians associate, or the musicians of the symphony, do not have a way to receive donations per se. So I would say donate to the symphony. Or if you come to the non-classical nights, the Saturday night concerts, we do have a tip jar there to help out the local folk and jazz players that do not have income at this time.
Okay. So people who are participating with you, you find a way to get some money to them.
For the folk and jazz players, yeah, and Irish, yeah.
That's cool. Well, man, this has really grown into such a thing. Looking back, did you have any sense of how big this was going to become?
No, I was very, I guess, kind of neurotically, that's the wrong word, but just devoutly, that's a better word, devoutly insistent on keeping these concerts going. Because I know once you stop, it's hard to maybe start up again. But most of all, the audience, the connection we have to this audience is so powerful. Seeing the smiles, just hearing the thunderous applause afterwards has been so joyful.
Well, Thomas Yoslein of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
And I do want to mention we're going out of the show with music that is from one of these yard concerts. Just amazing stuff. Podcast episodes of St. Louis on the Air are available wherever you get your podcasts. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Evie Hemphill and Lara Hamden, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr. The senior producer is Emily Woodbury. The executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. Happy Friday. I'm Sarah Fenske.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.